Good morning, boys and girls. Happy Sabbath. So nice to see all of your beautiful faces this morning. I'm so glad you're here. Today, I'm going to tell you a story about a little boy named David. Now, David was in the third grade, so he was maybe about 8 years old. Anybody here? Is anybody here 8 years old? You're 8 years old? Okay, David was 8 years old. And he had a cat, and that cat sadly got old and died. So his parents took him to the Humane Society so that he could pick out another kitten. And so he found a little kitten that he loved very much. It was a kitten that looked something like this. Isn't it cute? It was a little Siamese kitten that was all white except for the tips of his ears and the tip of his tail, and his little feet were black. And yes. Oh, her eyes are blue. Isn't she cute? And do you think David loved his little kitten? He loved her very much. And he snuggled and cuddled with her. Well, David lived out in the country. And one day, soon after he got the kitten, his friend came to visit. So the friend's mom came and dropped him off, and because they lived far away from pretty much anybody. And then something very terrible happened. When the mom came to pick up David's friend, the kitten had gone and had found a cozy spot behind one of the tires. And it was very sad that when the mom backed up, she backed up over the kitten, and the kitten died. David was heartbroken. He ran as fast as he could, just crying. He went to the end of the driveway, that's as far as he went, and there was the mailbox. And he stood there by the mailbox about a quarter of a mile, and he cried and cried and cried. He was so sad. And then he remembered the previous week at Sabbath school, his memory verse had been, and could I have, let's see, Patrick, you want to come and read this verse for me?
Blessing are they that watch still for they shall be comforted.
Okay, thank you so much. Okay, it was this beautiful text. You can stay here with me. Okay, we're going to say it again together. Can we all say that memory verse together? Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Do you think that's a good memory verse to memorize? What do you think? Should we all memorize that? And do you know what? David remembered that verse. And do you know what he did? He said that verse, and he prayed about it, and he reminded God of his promise. When there's a promise in the Bible, does God want us to remind him? He said, God, I'm mourning. Can you please comfort me? Please do something. You promised. I memorized that verse. And then he walked back, and he looked to see if his little kitten had been resurrected, but it hadn't. So he took a shovel and dug a hole and buried it. He was so sad. The next day, they lived out in the country, so hardly anybody came over. A car drove up, and he ran out to see who it was. And it was one of the neighbors. He rolled down the window, and he said, did you by any chance lose a kitten? And little David said, no. He goes, I had one that died, but... No, I didn't lose a kitten. He goes, well, I asked all the neighbors and nobody seems to know whose it is or anything. He goes, so if you want it, here it is. So he handed him a paper bag that was rolled up about 3/4 of the way down. So he just handed little David the sack and he took off down the driveway. And David opened up the sack and inside was a little white Siamese kitten with all white except the tip of the ears and the feet and the tail was black. And I know this story is true because I know the man, that little boy David. He grew up to be a godly man. His name is Dave Fiedler. And he used to be in this church. And that experience where he remembered God's promise, he went to Sabbath school. His parents brought him to Sabbath school. He remembered. He memorized his verse. And then when he got into a situation where he was sad, he remembered and he claimed the promise and God answered. And he remembered that many years afterwards, and that helped to shape his life, and he became a man of God, partly because of that prayer. You see how important it is to read God's word, to go to Sabbath school, to memorize your memory verses. Because when we are faced with these situations, then we can claim his promises and God will comfort us. So let's say that memory verse one more time. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Amen. Let's bow our heads and have a prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your beautiful promises. We thank you that you answered little David's prayer and that he grew up to be a man of God. And Lord, we want to love and serve you always. Please help us to memorize your word and to claim your promises, and please comfort all of us that are mourning for one reason or another. In Jesus' name, amen.
Is this on? Okay. Both have to be switched on. If you have a blue card, bring it down to the front and join us down front. Father God, this morning we count it a privilege to kneel before you, the God of the universe, sovereign, our creator, and our redeemer. We first of all want to acknowledge our sinfulness, our sins, and we cast all of our burdens upon you and pray that you would forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We thank you for the blessings of this past week. Most of them, if not all of them, have been unnoticed by us, and we will only know in heaven the blessings that you poured out upon us, and we thank you for them. We thank you that we can cast our cares, our burdens upon you because you promised that you would care for us. And I hold these cards in my hand. Cares, worries, anxieties, needs. I know that each one of us here, kneeling before you, have our own set of needs, our own things that worry and bother us, and we want to right now cast them upon you and claiming that promise that you would care for us. Pray that you would be in a special way today and throughout the rest of their life with Ben and Sean as they have committed their lives to you. We just pray that you would richly bless them with an outpouring of the Holy Spirit to bless their ministry to those they come in contact with. We pray for each one of us, each of our families, that you would continue to guide and direct us. We pray for Pastor, that you would speak through him to us today. Help us to hear your words to us. We lift up the meetings coming, Pale Horse Rides and Living with Hope. Many invitations have gone out, and we just pray that the angels and the Holy Spirit will bring a conviction to the various hearts, people that have been invited, that these are meetings that they really need to come to. Amid all the distractions of the world, that these are meetings they need. And so we pray that you would bless them. All of these things we bring to you now, and we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Our offering today is for our local church budget, and there's a story to share this morning about two little girls and a clerk at a store. A clerk at a register of a convenience store witnessed a heartwarming situation between two girls that came in one day. The girls wanted to buy candy. Each one had her selection and was ready to pay for it. The first little girl put the candy on the counter, and then proceeded to count the coins after the clerk announced the amount. She counted once and then again. Unfortunately, the coins did not match the required amount needed to complete the purchase. The second little girl, who was just behind her in line, offered the first little girl all her coins. When the clerk got the coins and completed the sale, she returned the change to the first little girl, who in turn gave it to the second little girl. Now it was the turn of the second little girl to purchase her candy. The same routine was repeated with the same results. The second little girl counted out her coins twice, only to find that she was short. When the clerk figured out what was happening, she said, "I'm buying this one for you." Loving others can transform all those around us. In the simple, pure actions of one little girl, we can see the reflection of the gospel. God loved the world so much that he gave. His giving has displayed a worldwide, unending movement that for more than 2,000 years has only become bigger. May God's generosity spark in every believer's heart the spirit needed to not only finish God's work globally, but also locally, as we collect today for the local church budget. The deacons will come forward now to receive your offering this morning. Thank you. We thank Thee, Father, for Your most indescribable gift to us of Jesus Christ. We thank You so much for this gift that gives us all the hope that we have today. Please attend this offering that's been given, that it would meet the needs of people, Your people everywhere, and that more and more will come to know You and know the truth. We just thank You for the blessing and opportunity to give today. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Heavenly Father, we appreciate You. Heavenly Father, we appreciate You. We love You, adore You, we bow down before You. Heavenly Father, we appreciate You. Son of God, we magnify You. Son of God, we magnify You. Adore You, we bow down before You. Son of God, we magnify You. Holy Spirit, You're a comfort to us. Holy Spirit, You're a comfort to us. We love You, adore You, we bow down before You. Holy Spirit, You're a comfort to Triumph God, what a wonder You are. Triumph God, what a wonder You are. We love You, adore You, we bow down before You. Triumph God, what a wonder You are. Triumph God, what a wonder You are. Triumph God, what a wonder You
A blessing. Thank you. Our scripture reading, if you're going to join me there, is John 13, John chapter 13, and verses 2 through 5. And supper being ended, the devil, having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from the supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded.
I know what you're thinking. How long is he going to be preaching? You don't have to think about that anymore, because I knew that this was going to take a while to get to this point. You know, one day Jesus had a very unpleasant thing to do. And, you know, he was sick. He was heart sick. He knew that in 24 hours, he would be dead. And his spirit was heavy because of it. 13 men trudged up a dark stairway to an upstairs room. And supper was about to be served. And you can read about this in John chapter 13, beginning in verse 2. Custom at that time dictated that before the meal, they were to have their feet washed. I don't know why they focus more on their feet being clean than their hands being clean. They probably had both, but it was an important thing back then. They wanted to have their feet clean before the meal was eaten. And usually the task of cleaning the meal was relegated to the lowest slave that you could find. And this job was very unpleasant. How about you? Do you enjoy a smelling a sweaty, stinky foot? I don't think so. You know that God has placed our nose as high as possible up away from our feet? Wow. And there's a reason for that. But when you kneel to wash someone else's feet, do you realize that your nose is about as close as you possibly can get to those feet? Well, I know that today, everybody here probably took a shower this morning and you put on clean socks, but not so in the upper room. Imagine Jesus, the creator of the universe, the King of kings and the Lord of all of creation, washing 24 of those types of feet. Stinky, sweaty, smelly feet. And, you know, nobody wanted to lower themselves to perform that chore. The disciples were not focused on humility. They were only concerned about one thing, and that was their own status. And so Jesus got up. He took the towel from his peg, and he got the basin from the corner of the room. And in silence, he knelt down before the nearest disciple. And he loosened the leather straps, and one by one he took each filthy, sweaty, smelly foot in his own hand, and he began to tenderly wash away all the traces of dirt and filth. The same hands that fashioned the galaxies of the universe, now he cleansed away all filth and all grit from the feet of these disciples. Fingers that formed the foundations of the world were now drying toes. And after gently drying each foot, those same hands that soon would have nail holes in them replaced each sandal and tied their straps back on. Those lips that would soon be black and blue from beating and that would soon be parched from thirst smiled in love at each amazed disciple. And those eyes that soon would be closed or grow glassy from death on the cross, those eyes stared into the depths of their hearts. Jesus understood full well that in a few short hours, all 24 of those feet that he had so wonderfully cleansed would soon desert him and run for their life and flee away from his presence. Only the feet of John would stay behind. Now I imagine that Jesus came along and washed the feet of Judas. And he knew that those feet would soon hang lifeless from a tree in a field of blood. And yet he continued washing. He washed Judas, knowing that Judas had future plans to harm him. Now that's very significant. I will tell you today that Jesus is still in the foot cleansing business. He still wants to cleanse feet. And today he kneels before each one of us, not to condemn us, but to purify us. I don't know where you have been. I don't know where we have been. We have been somewhere doing something that we shouldn't do. During the past week, during the past weeks. Maybe we don't have to go even that far back as the past week. And we are covered with a stinky, smelly substance. And it's Jesus' vocation to remove that from us. As Jesus looks into our face, he instantly knows the hidden secrets of our own lives. All our sins come up before him in their awful hideousness. Now we might think that, well, he's going to skip me. He wouldn't want to wash my feet. But not Jesus. He kneels down and he washes all our sins away. His nail-pierced hands will cup the water of life and apply to our filth. We're totally forgiven and totally cleansed. Jesus washes us, and listen to this. He washes us knowing that in the future we may be deserters, that we will betray him. He knows that better than, he knows us better than we know ourselves. And he knows that we will fail him again. And yet he believes in us. Perhaps if he loves us enough, we will respond and we will be changed. He has this belief in us. He's trying to move us in the direction that we need to go. After the foot washing, Jesus challenged the 12 disciples with these words. He said in John 13, verse 14, he says, "Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet." So Jesus asks us to go out and find somebody else who is grimy, smelly, dirty, a dirty person, someone that has wronged us. That's what I mean by a dirty person. Somebody that has hurt us. And like him, like Jesus, we are to forgive people even if they may have future plans to hurt us, to harm us. And what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to forgive them as he did. Follow his example. As we have been freely forgiven, so we ought to forgive. And later that weekend, perhaps during the long Sabbath hours, I can just see these 11, and there were only 11 left, these 11 hopeless men staring at the ground. Jesus was dead. And as they stared, I just wonder if they happened to notice their feet. Their feet had become dirty again. You know what I'm talking about. Did they remember what Jesus had really done? Jesus wanted each one of them to understand, even before he died, that they were forgiven. even though their feet were dirty again, even though they had deserted him, he wanted them to know that they were forgiven. And Jesus said to John, said in John chapter 13, verse 7, he said, "You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." And here is an awesome truth, a wonderful truth. His forgiveness continued on even after his death. Jesus did not hold them guilty for the cross. They were forgiven before they even asked. Mercy had been extended before they could even realize that they needed mercy. It's the same today. Before you sin, Jesus is there. That's the kind of God he is. In our own power, we cannot keep our feet clean. But Jesus forgives us and gives us power to be a little cleaner and a little cleaner and a little cleaner. As the days go by, a little more like the image of Jesus. And that's our goal. My goal in life is to become more like Jesus. But it has to be based on the fact that he has already forgiven. That he has accepted us as his child, his children. And then that he empowers us to live for him. 1 John 1:9, one of my favorite verses, if I can say such a thing, in the entire New Testament. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All our unrighteousness is as repulsive to him as stinking feet are to you. And that day he not only washed filthy feet, he washed filthy, unholy souls or hearts. And today, Jesus is standing before us to wash our hearts, to wash our souls. What a wonderful Savior we have. We're going to participate now in the ordinance of humility. And that reminds us how Jesus washed his disciples' feet. And how also we need to view the grime of our own lives and the grime of our neighbor. And we ought to participate in washing it away and extending forgiveness. Because we have been forgiven. It's a symbol of humbling ourselves and accepting and embracing and reconciling with our neighbor. Before we separate for the foot washing, let me remind you that we have several areas in the back for foot washing. For men, for women, for couples. The women will be meeting in our fellowship hall. The men will be meeting in the music room. And couples will be meeting in the library. But let's pray before we separate for the ordinance of foot washing, the ordinance of humility. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for washing the dirty feet of the dirty dozen, the disciples. And I pray you today, Father, that you will not only wash our feet, but also our hearts with your blood. Dismiss us with a special blessing as we go into the foot washing service. And bless us as we reassemble here afterwards for the ordinance of the cup and the bread. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Before you go, let me just say, ask you to quickly come back here at the end of the service, at the end of the foot washing service. Just come quietly in and occupy every second row here. Thank you.
First Corinthians 11, 23 and 24 says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" We will kneel up here. You can just bow your heads. Father, we come now to this sacred memorial of what you did 2,000 years ago by sacrificing, freely sacrificing your body, allowing your body to be beaten and torn, and just like the bread has to be crushed to be made into bread, your body was crushed. And you did it all for us. We can never thank you enough. We want to remember in a special way what you've done for us. We pray that your life, as we take this emblem of your body, that your life, the life, will come into our hearts and into our minds today and energize us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This time, if anyone has a testimony to bear relating to God's goodness and God's grace, let us see your hand.
I'm going to take this opportunity to publicly confess and praise and thank my Lord for what he did, the willingness to literally go out of existence, never be again, potentially for me, and I want to thank him for that.
I just want to praise the Lord for my son's decisions to their public declaration to follow Jesus. And thank Jesus for dying on the cross for me, that not only I, but my family as well, will one day be in his holy presence because of his great sacrifice.
While we are waiting for another one, as I'm looking at this table, I don't know if you know this, but in an Adventist church, the table is between you and the elder's pastor. That's not the case in all churches. In some churches, the table is behind the pastor. That means you have to go through the pastor to come to God. You have to go through the pastor to come to the priest. But we are all in the same boat, and that's why the table is between us. So I praise God for that we all can access Jesus directly.
I want to thank the Lord too today for his goodness and mercy and ever there ready to help us, and that the power he gives us to go about our work for him each day, each week, and because I know without that I wouldn't be able to do anything. And so I just praise him for his generosity and love for me today. Thank you.
Is there another one? Over there? Yes.
Well, I just wanted to praise God that our two adopted grandsons made their decision today. And I just praise God for that. Each one of us is a child of God. Each one of us has a Father in heaven. And it's so good to know that this, indeed, this world, this sin-filled world is not our home. That we have a much better place. A mansion in heaven that Jesus has set aside just for us. Amen. And I praise God for the fact that I'm here today. Because over 2 years ago, I was given less than a year to live. And I believe, as I turned it all over to Christ, that His healing hand has been upon me. And that I just praise Eden Valley Wellness Center for all that they have done for me to keep me alive, in effect. So anyway, we can't thank God enough. Every day is a blessing, and we need to honor every day as if it's our last. So thank you so much.
Jesus said, "This is the bread that is broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me." Umari Kiari, one of our elders, will be leading us in scripture and prayer over the emblem of the Jews.
I'll be reading as well from the book of 1 Corinthians 11, starting at verse 24. And then he gave thanks. No, I'm sorry, I want to read from verse 25. I'll begin from verse 25. And 26. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me."
Again, we will kneel. You can remain seated. Let us pray.
Let us bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our kind and loving Father, we want to thank you for the example of Christ that we have in our lives. We want to thank you for the gift of life, Father, that you have given us, and for especially your Spirit, Father, that has led us all the way here and throughout this service, Father. Father in heaven, may you look upon every family that's in here, Father. Bless them, Father. Be with all the children. And send them home refreshed, as my fellow elder had prayed before. Create in us, Father, a new heart. That way we might always just be about your business, Father. Teach us humility, as you had given us an example through Christ washing his disciples' feet, Father. I pray this, trusting and believing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Do we have another testimony or two at this time? Yes, there is one over there.
I like to praise God for spiritual growth. It is amazing how the Lord leads in our lives. Just a little over a year ago, as Pastor mentioned with Amari, the elder here, that's passing out a microphone over there, and me, a year ago, we were not elders in this church. And God has blessed us with the opportunity to serve as elders in this church. As Larry is passing out the emblems of the grape juice, a year ago he was not doing this. So I just praise the Lord that the church is growing. Not only spiritual growth for me, but the spiritual growth of this church. And it is not over, because each one of us are still breathing. We are spiritually growing every moment, and I praise the Lord for that.
This week, the Lord answered prayers for us in a mighty way, and we have been praying for a specific family for quite some time, and we were able to have the husband over to our home. And we just had a blessed time. It could not have gone better, and it wasn't because we're perfect. It wasn't because we have the best home in the world. It wasn't because we're faultless. It was because God came, and He sent His Holy Spirit, and He allowed us to be a blessing to someone else. And I'm just very thankful for that. I'm very thankful that God heard our prayers, and that He gave us encouragement to keep praying, because it's not over yet. And you know, that was just very, very precious to me. Because right before we had our friend over, Satan started attacking, and we started having all sorts of emotions and feeling upset with each other. And I knew that it was Satan attacking. And I knelt down and I prayed and I said, Lord, please, we can't do this without You. We need Your help, and we need You to surround us with Your holy angels. And He did it. Everything calmed down and everything went well. And God is so good. And I'm just very, very thankful for the goodness of the Lord.
Amen. I know that Jesus Christ lives. And because that Jesus Christ lives, my life has been changed. I have seen the changes in my life. That Jesus died for me, and He died for you. I have a testimony. Amen. I know how it feels when you don't have a testimony from Jesus Christ. And I want to invite you that Jesus say, if anyone cry out in the name of Jesus, he will be saved in the last day. Ask of God that you may have the testimony that Jesus Christ died for you, and your life is being washed by Jesus Christ. And your sins are forgivable in the name of Jesus Christ. I prophesy. Amen.
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 Thank you.
I'd like to praise God for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I am so grateful. Often when I pray, I specifically praise the Father for His role. But I praise Jesus for His role as a part of the Godhead, and then I praise the Holy Spirit as well for His role. You know, oftentimes the Holy Spirit seems like a silent partner. He seems like He's in the background, and yet we know that He's the one that leads us into all truth. But I'm especially thankful for His role of convicting us of sin. And although it's not always a comfortable experience, I am very, very thankful for the work of the Holy Spirit and the conviction of sin. And this mini baptism that allows that fresh washing from sin and newness of life.
Amen.
Amen.
As Jesus said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Let's stand and sing our closing song, which is number 251. He lives. Christ lives it today. He didn't remain in the grave. He was resurrected and is today ministering on our behalf in heaven. Number 251.